Good morning, good evening, everyone from other parts of the world who are joining. My name is Patty. We are going to start in a minute or two. I just want to quickly go over some housekeeping and logistics for those who are already on, and you know, make sure that you're able to see and hear. You've got a chat window on the right side of your window, your screen, where you can type in any question or comment or anything regarding you know, accessing the webinar, and one of us will respond to you. So firstly, for folks who are joining from India, happy Republic Day, and I'm glad you are able to join, even though it's the end of the holiday for you, and hope you enjoy the webinar. A couple of things, make sure you have the Chrome browser, and those who are already in, I guess you are on the Chrome browser, and those who are on the phone trying to get in, if you're having trouble, make sure you have the Chrome browser, because the platform works with Chrome. And you'll see a message to accept screen sharing. You might, and when we switch presentations, you'll have to accept the screen share so you can see the screen that is being shared. You will be on mute during the presentation, and like I said, you can use the chat window if you have to ask a question. We will take all questions at the end of the presentation. Finally, we are recording the presentation, and we will be posting the slides as well as the recording and sharing the link with all of you who have participated and have registered for the conference. And with that, I am very pleased to start this webinar. I'm very pleased to also have Barbara McGann from HFS Research, who's on the phone. Barbara, are you on?
I am, yes. Glad to be here with you all.
Very good, very good. Thank you. And with that, I'm going to get started. So what we're going to do is we will cover, in the first half of the presentation, we're going to cover the results of a survey that we did on the outlook for IT in the healthcare space. And this, in the second half of the presentation, Barbara is going to present some of their findings from HFS Research and share her thoughts and commentary on what they see unfolding in the specifically in the business process services market. With that, my name is Patty Padmanabhan. Here's a quick bio. I am the founder and CEO of Demo Consulting. We are a Chicago-based management consulting firm that focuses exclusively on healthcare and healthcare information technology in specific. You can follow me on Twitter, and I shared my LinkedIn address as well. You can also follow me on my CIO blog, where I write a regular column on healthcare technology trends. There's over 50 blogs if you have the time to go through all of those, but you will see one pop up every other week. And we also publish a weekly newsletter, The Healthcare Leader. I invite you to subscribe to it. We cover the important stories of the week, and we provide commentary on what we see unfolding in the market. Okay, the agenda for today's webinar, we are going to talk about the impact of the new administration and what we are seeing unfolding under President Trump since the elections. We will then talk about the outlook for 2017 from the healthcare IT market standpoint, and this is primarily the perspective from our survey respondents, who were all from the healthcare technology services industry. And we can extrapolate on that for other parts of the healthcare market as well. Barbara is going to cover the state of business operations and BPO. Again, she's going to talk about it from the service buyer's point of view, so you have a well-rounded view of what the buying and selling environment looks like. And we're going to leave a few minutes at the end for a Q&A and wrap up. Okay, big events in the last couple of months. November 8th, Donald Trump pulls off a stunning election victory. And on January 20th, the day he took office, pretty much the very first thing he did was he signed an executive order to start dismantling the Affordable Care Act, which is also known as Obamacare. What does that mean for the markets? And here is our view of what we think it means. Like there's, of course, you know, things are unfolding on a daily basis, but this is what we see at this point in time. The repeal of the ACA is probably going to go through either in part or in whole, but it is going to create some new challenges and some uncertainty in the market. So the Congressional Budget Office has estimated that, among other things, the uninsured may rise to about 32 million, which means that premiums may increase sharply and it will disrupt the healthcare individual exchange markets. Health plans who are in the markets may either withdraw because of losses or may withdraw because it's unviable to stay in the insurance markets, especially if the risk pool is unbalanced. The other notable aspect of the executive order is that without saying it explicitly, it takes, you know, it targets a Medicaid expansion program under Obamacare, under which federal subsidies were being made available to states that agreed to expand Obamacare. About 31 states agreed to expand Medicaid. And those federal subsidies may now be at risk under the executive order. And if that happens, the Medicaid expansion program may roll back, and there could be implications for both the insurance, state Medicaid markets, as well as hospital systems who may now see a surge in uninsured you know, members showing up at the emergency rooms. Having said that, despite the policy environment, we think the transition to value-based care is going to continue, and that means that a lot of things that are in flight, a lot of things that have been put in place to prepare the healthcare industry for an era of value-based care, they are going to continue. We're going to see that healthcare consumerism is going to continue to gain ground, and you know, healthcare enterprises are going to increasingly focus on patient experience, and technology is going to play a big part in that. Digital health initiatives are going to continue to gain ground, again, driven by healthcare consumerism, but also by a lot of other things, such as the Internet of Things movement, which is going to help with care coordination and improved healthcare outcomes and care management. Specifically, AI, cognitive, automation, all of that is going to come into play. It's already in play, and we're going to see an acceleration of the adoption of these technologies to drive operating efficiencies as well as population health management. And I think Barbara is going to talk in a little bit more detail about that, especially RPA and automation in operations. IT is going to embrace new technologies. It's going to continue to grapple with some old problems. For the new technologies, there is a cloud migration, cloud adoption in progress is going to continue. Automation is going to increase. However, on the challenges front, interoperability, which is essential for unlocking the value of the data that is sitting in various you know, electronic health record systems and other systems, that is a work in progress as we speak. IT security, big issue in the last couple of years, is going to remain an issue this year because healthcare traditionally has had an aging infrastructure. It's not upgraded, it's not up to date, and cyber attacks have targeted healthcare in particular because of all the vulnerabilities in healthcare IT environments. So this is at a broad level what we are seeing in the market. Quickly about Demo Consulting, we founded in 2012, technology and management consulting, focused exclusively on healthcare. We provide growth strategy, advisory, digital marketing and content solutions, market intelligence. And I have been in healthcare for about 18 years, worked with companies like Accenture, Wipro, and a couple of Silicon Valley startups as well. We publish a lot of research. We do a lot of thought leadership work for ourselves as well as for our clients. And we speak at industry conferences. So, quick blurb on Demo Consulting. Okay, in Q4 of 2016, we ran our first annual survey for healthcare IT services, and our intent was to really understand from a technology provider standpoint what the outlook is for the coming year. So interestingly, we started the survey in the first week of November. We closed it at the end of November, and obviously in between we had the election results. So we saw a significant change in the nature of the responses, and I'll talk about that when I go through the rest of the slides. There were 17 questions in the survey covering a range of topics, mostly related to the demand environment. And we received 31 responses, but they were across a wide range of companies, and we got a very good representation of large companies as well as smaller companies. And these are all people who are working in the healthcare space. Some of the questions had multiple response options. So the math geeks among you, don't try to add up to 100% on everything, because it may not, simply because we gave the option for multiple responses. Okay. There is a link on the left. You can actually go to our website. On the homepage, you can go there and download the complete report. It's a complimentary report. You just have to fill out a form, and you can download it. The detailed report is there. Okay, I'm going to jump straight into some of the questions. I'm not going to cover all 17 questions. I'm going to cover the responses to a handful of those questions. And those of you who are interested in learning more about the details of the survey and the responses can go and download the ebook from our website. Okay, what are the growth areas? What do you see as the highest growth areas in healthcare? This was our first question in the survey, and by far. The number one response was digital transformation. Now, digital transformation means a lot of different things to people, but largely we understood it to mean it's all of the work related to improving patient experience, improving member experience, improving interactions digitally with caregivers and care coordination and so on. So just improving the digital experience. That's what we understood it to. But closely related to it is the use of big data and analytics for driving digital transformation programs. So, we've heard the term big data for the last few years now, and gradually that's giving way to things like AI and cognitive and so on, but the essential principle remains the same. Over the last few years, a huge amount of money has been spent on laying down the digital infrastructure, especially electronic health records, and now it's time to unlock the value of the data in order to gain insights that will drive healthcare outcomes, that will drive improved patient engagement and a variety of other things. And that's why we see the continued emphasis on big data analytics. Cloud came up as a big growth area, largely because of the migration of enterprise workloads towards the cloud. We're not seeing a wholesale migration of the on-premise environment to the cloud, but we are seeing selectively parts that are being migrated to the cloud. And they are essentially. Hello, Barbara? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're back. You disappeared for a moment there, but we hear you.
Okay,
again.
Sorry about that. Okay, so what I was saying was there is a migration towards the cloud, and we're seeing that in the numbers that are being shown by Amazon and Microsoft Azure. Interestingly, outsourcing doesn't seem to be one of the high growth areas, and I think part of the reason is that a lot of the new initiatives such as cloud migration, automation, and so on are impacting traditional IT outsourcing business, and that is what we believe is leading to a somewhat muted outlook for outsourcing. Okay. What are the biggest headwinds for top-line growth? This was one of our questions, and by far, cybersecurity and data privacy came out as a number one challenge. And we've seen that in the last couple of years, we've seen large-scale disruptions in healthcare IT environments because of data breaches, Anthem, Primera, so on and so forth, ransomware. It's all been in the news, over 100 million records breached, and is expected to continue because healthcare is vulnerable and healthcare is in the crosshairs of cyber attackers. So we see that to be an area which is going to be a big concern. And we also see that to be an area of big investment. So those who have information security solutions should be seeing a lot of increased demand in that space. IT spend reduction is seen as a concern. I think Gartner has pointed out that there is going to be kind of a flattish growth across sectors in IT spend. Part of it may be to do with the fact that a lot of the investment is going into automation and so on, and traditional spend on labor may be dropping off. That could be one indication. Automation certainly is a challenge, especially for companies that are used to a labor-intensive model. And I think Barbara is going to cover a little bit more of that. And this is definitely a challenge in the marketplace for technology providers who are seeing automation kind of cannibalize their revenues. And then we see cloud migration, a couple other things. Macro-level demand for IT and IT-enabled services. You know, like I said, we started off the survey in the beginning of November, but by the time, you know, the elections had come around and we knew the results, everybody pretty much turned around and said the number one concern now is what is Trump going to do with healthcare? And that seems to have been borne out by the fact that, you know, as soon as he came into office, the first thing he did was pretty much dismantle or pass an executive order to dismantle the ACA. And, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. There's a lot of administrative procedures and so on and so forth, but there's a lot of levers that the executive branch has that they could pull in order to disrupt the markets and especially withhold funding for programs that will effectively dismantle parts of the ACA. IT spend levels are also seen as a concern for macro-level demand. And industry consolidation and M&A. And last year, there was a lot of, you know, we saw a lot of M&A deals come and some just went. We saw big deals like Pfizer Allergan, which kind of fell through and for its own reasons. We had a couple of pending M&A transactions in the healthcare space, especially the big commercial health plans, Aetna, Humana, and Cigna, Anthem. And, you know, you would have seen earlier this week that Aetna, Humana has been blocked. And so we can only conjecture as to what's going to happen to Cigna and Anthem. But when we did the survey, these mergers were out there, and there were other mergers that were happening in the provider space that were smaller in scale, but these two big mergers in the health plan space were seen as a concern. That could, you know, impact the demand environment through the consolidation. I think the implication for technology providers is, you know, if the consolidation is to happen, then are you on the right side of consolidation? And of course, cloud migration, which keeps coming up repeatedly as one of the headwinds for growth. And it's also driving some other activity among service providers, especially around M&A, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Okay. What is the overall investment in healthcare going to look like over the next 18 months? And most of our respondents said they are going to increase investment in healthcare. So that's good news. Everybody who's in healthcare intends to remain in healthcare. And they're either going to increase significantly, at least a third are going to increase investment significantly. Of course, I don't know whether that's all going to change because of you know, the new administration and some of the things that have unfolded, but I suspect not. I think the longer-term trends in terms of the shifts, the transformation of healthcare are going to remain in place regardless of the policy environment. And maybe even new opportunities will arise because of whatever replacement plan that the new administration comes up with, which could unlock new investment dollars for new kinds of platforms, new kinds of systems. But yes, pretty much most of our respondents said they are going to increase investments in healthcare. Having said that, the growth forecast for healthcare, you know, what half of the respondents said they see, you know, 20% growth or more, which, you know, compared to the you know, market averages, is pretty much in line with where the top line growths are for at least for the big technology services firms. So, you know, it's in market, in line and growth. A small percentage, about 16%, think they're going to grow by 50% or more. So that's great for them because they are going to outgrow other sectors in which they are. And some of the healthcare focused companies, exclusively healthcare focused companies, it's good news for them. They're going to see a lot of opportunities. About a third said they're going to see flat or marginal growth, but that's what the respondents said. Competitive environment, the number one concern was pricing pressure, and you know, that I guess is a function of IT spend reductions and all the other pressures that CIOs are under, so, you know, and possibly, you know, the competitive environment as well. and potentially even, you know, a slowdown in the number of deals that are out there. It could be a variety of reasons. Technology changes, some of the, you know, some of the work that's, you know, moving over to platforms as opposed to, you know, custom work and so on and so forth. It could be a variety of things at play here, but pricing pressure came out as number one. Rise of non-traditional players, that does seem to be a concern. You know, with some of these trends like cloud migration, we are going to see at least some parts of the traditional IT services business, such as remote infrastructure management, that's going to be impacted by players like Amazon Web Services. But they're not the only ones. We see that the growth of startups, digital health startups, are going to kind of take some parts of you know, revenue opportunities for custom work through platform solutions, right? And we're going to see a lot of VC money. We are seeing a lot of VC money pouring into digital health startups in particular. Last year it was about $4.5 billion. And many of them are essentially building platforms for functionalities that were maybe, you know, built in-house earlier. Consolidation among service providers. We're not seeing, you know, technology service providers, at least the big ones, consolidating among themselves. But there is some amount of M&A that is going on. We saw Capgemini acquire iGate. It was one of the bigger transactions last year. But there's a lot of smaller transactions that are taking place as well. We saw, you know, Dell Services change hands and it's now become a part of NTT. And that is an important one from a healthcare standpoint. But we're also seeing that some of the, you know, the bigger IT services players are acquiring companies that are in, you know, that are not necessarily in the same space, so, such as Wipro's acquisition of Health Plan Services, which is a platform play, or Aperio, which is a cloud play. And we've seen Infosys make acquisitions in the, you know, in the intelligent automation space, for instance, and that's more IP-led. And we've seen companies like, you know, Accenture that are making a lot of acquisitions in the digital space, as is Cognizant. So I wouldn't call it consolidation, but there is a lot of M&A work that is going on within the among service providers, and I don't know whether some of our respondents were paying attention to that and seeing that as a threat to their competitive landscape. The biggest challenge in achieving growth objectives in healthcare, you know, we are tied here between deal conversion and demand generation. And what we understand is that deal conversion is a function possibly of a smaller number of deals out there, and consequently greater competition for those deals, especially the large outsourcing deals. And by law of averages, if you win one out of four, then, you know, you're essentially looking at a smaller number of deals and greater pressure to convert the deals in order to keep up the top line growth. But closely related to that is also demand generation, because if the deal flow for traditional large outsourcing deals is going down, then you are going to see a problem for backfilling the pipeline with other deals that are of same size, so it might be a larger number of smaller deals in the absence of, you know, large deals that are out there. Brand visibility and reach was seen as a challenge, and that I think traditionally has been a challenge for many of the IT services companies relative to some of the big technology firms. You know, the spend on marketing has tended to be a little bit less, and so that could be a function of that. The source of leads, the biggest source of leads is not surprisingly customer referrals. Nothing better than having a satisfied and delighted customer make a reference to a friend or a peer in the industry. And of course, you know, even better if your customer, you know, moves to another company and becomes a CIO and takes you along with them. So that's great. Influencer and analysts, that's, I guess, great news for folks like Barbara and HFS, because we see this as an indication that the IT services industry sees value in what the influencer and analyst community is doing for technology providers and buyers alike. And so we see that this is a reflection of that value in terms of where IT services companies are seeing the sources of leads. In fact, the next slide talks about, you know, the same thing, about 50%. I'm sorry, about 65%, two-thirds, are going to do more influencer marketing, which means they're going to spend more money with influencers to try and buy influence with the buying community, which is, again, great news for, you know, HFS and their peers in the industry. course, the other thing is there's also a lot of content marketing, which is good from my standpoint, because buying dynamics have changed significantly over the last few years. The traditional selling model of calling into prospects is no longer working. Prospects are doing their research online and finding out about potential providers of services before they actually make in-person contact. So content is one way of getting around to gaining attention. Today in the marketplace is really a battle for attention. And the most effective way of doing that is content. And more specifically, we're seeing thought leadership content. Importantly, people are not looking at adding more field sales personnel. What that means to me is that existing field sales folks are focused on qualifying and converting deals and less on prospecting. Primary decision maker remains the CIO. Despite all the talk about two-speed IT, bimodal IT, and whatnot, it seems like the CIO is still king or queen, as the case may be. Okay, growth strategy considerations for technology providers. Well, assess your market footprint. Where do you stand relative to your competitors, and who are your competitors? Assess your capabilities in the top areas of growth, digital analytics, cloud. Do you have a play? Do you have an offering? Are you gaining traction? This is where people are spending money, so you have to be, as they say, you fish where the fish are. What investments do you need to make? Importantly, also, understand what your client's market position is. Are they doing well? Are they acquiring, or are they likely to be acquired? Are they profitable, or are they not? Those things can have a big impact on your future revenues. And the portfolio risks, right? Client concentration, the kind of engagements that you have with them. Are they strategic or non-strategic? Are they in future state environments, or are they more to do with traditional environments? What's the price pressure looking like? Sustainability of revenue streams and so on. Bottom line here is there is some uncertainty in the short term, but we think it will all sort itself out, and the steady move towards value-based care in the longer term is going to continue to be good news for technology providers. Okay, this is something about the profile. This is just a breakdown of the profile of respondents. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. And thank you. With that, I am going to hand this off to Barbara. Barbara, are you on?
I am. So we'll go ahead and switch over.
All right, all yours.
Okay. Let me go ahead and share my screen with you. And here we go. Now, according to what I can tell, you are all seeing the state of operations and outsourcing in healthcare, which is the first page of my presentation. I happen to like these glasses. I'm actually looking through my own glasses, but I think part of it is the future is pretty blurry. But I think if we kind of focus on the one piece that we together as service providers and healthcare organizations working through business operations, if we can focus on our piece of the puzzle, then we can bring the bigger picture into focus and create some impact on the state of healthcare, not just in the U.S., but a lot of the issues and challenges that we have in the U.S. and we happen to be speaking to and from directly really are applicable globally. Creating better health, better care at a lower cost for everyone is that's a global imperative. So although we tend to talk at HSS from more of a U.S. perspective, a lot of what we talk about is globally applicative, and also we can learn a lot from outside the U.S. that we need to take into consideration. So, a lot of the conversation that we have these days is driven by what's the future of healthcare under President-elect Donald Trump. But we can't really predict, at least I'm not going to try, to foresee what's going to happen with policy in the U.S. around healthcare. But what I can emphasize is that there's just going to be an increased need for partnerships to focus on really what the ACA, regardless of how it takes shape in the future, was designed to accomplish, and that's affordable, accessible, and quality healthcare. And the people who really understand that best are the people who live it every day, and those are the patients. And that's why I always like to start by just talking about the patients. and the healthcare consumers, because this is really what we need to be thinking about every day, no matter what your job is. There's no reason, for instance, that a 4-hour blood transfusion required 84 hours of negotiation and frustration. And this is from the perspective of someone who is not just a patient or a healthcare consumer, but also someone who worked for the Health and Human Services Agency, who worked for a very large healthcare plan, and had a lot of experience about what goes on behind the scenes. And this calculation that she made used a Lean Six Sigma approach. And to many of us who have a background, as I do, in consulting and outsourcing, and many of you on the phone, you know what that means. Focus on the process, identifying the trouble spots, and really fine-tuning and addressing those until it just works more smoothly. And so she did an analysis on time she spent waiting to see doctors and specialists, showing up for appointments that had to be rescheduled and canceled, picking up documents and EMR printouts that had to be taken to another medical location, duplicative tests, and so forth. And basically, at the end of the day, it all added up to 84 hours. And that's what she spent because of lack of care coordination and communication, time spent waiting to see doctors, have tests, be admitted, receive care, the lack of interoperability between hospital and health systems. And she carried around her medical records, despite the fact that all of these places had electronic medical records. She had to get printouts and carry them around because she had 6 or 7, and none of them spoke to each other. And so this isn't just costly for her as a patient, but clearly the processes and the appointments and all of that was going on in the back office also took time and money and support of medical and clinical and administrative staff as well. So this isn't a good situation for anyone, right? And another perspective is Dr. Rana Adish, and many of you may have seen or be familiar with her story as well, but she became a patient in her own hospital when she had a tumor rupture, and it sent her into organ failure. She suffered a stroke. She lost the baby she had been carrying. She ended up having 5 operations. She had to relearn how to walk and speak. And while she received good medical care, what she learned was that there were many times where there were shortfalls in communication, that there was a lack of coordination around her care, and there was just a genuine lack of empathy for her experience through the hospital. She would hear people saying, "Oh, she's trying to die on us." And she would remember that she used to say that around patients as well. And that can have an impact on how well and committed they are to getting better and taking care of themselves, which is really at the heart of patient engagement and experience, is when the patient or the healthcare consumer starts to take greater responsibility and engagement in their own care, we can start to see the results. And so at the end of the day, what this is about is that, you know, a good healthcare consumer experience is really about having accessibility, quality, and affordability. And those are really the key themes. That's what people want and what will lead to better health, better care, and a lower cost. And if we bring this back to healthcare business operations, well, healthcare business operations are really at the core of helping to make that happen in organizations. So what are the levers that we can pull? Well, we've got shared services that centralize and standardize common practices and business operations. Global labor that's been well established over the last 30 to 40 years through outsourcing and delivery centers, intelligent automation, which started with simple automation of rote practices through to more robotic process automation of end-to-end process, and then now the addition of cognitive and machine learning. We've also got software platforms, cloud-based platforms that Patty referred to, and the self-learning and cognitive, which I already talked about, and then the addition of mobility and social media that just allows us to extend from inside the hospital walls to outside the hospital walls through telehealth and proactive population health management. And so we've got all these levers to pull, and operations leaders can pull these levers, but how are they being used in healthcare today, and how can we use them to make an impact on business results? Well, one of the ones that we mentioned on the previous page was outsourcing. And we do see through our research at HFS, we do a number of surveys every year because we are a research-based organization. And In the most recent survey that we did annually, we take a look at the state of shared services and outsourcing. And there were about 450 participants in this survey that represented service buyers, so everything from operations leads, finance and accounting, procurement, to VPs of claims and patient engagement, to on the service provider side, and then also advisors. And so we had about a little over 30 healthcare enterprise buyers. And what you can see here is that there is an still, and this was taking place during the election season as well, this survey, but there's still an increase in all industries and also in healthcare in centralizing in particular processes. So while there's, you know, as Patty referred to, a muted outlook for outsourcing, I think what's actually happening is that we're getting more selective. And so as we centralize processes and standardize across organizations to be more efficient, what we're also realizing is that we don't want to do wholesale outsourcing of claims, enrollment, billing, et cetera, just to lift and shift. What we need to think about is how claims and billing and enrollment and so forth, how that operation fits into creating a whole experience for that end healthcare consumer and patient. So what is it that we want to impact at the end of the day? How do each of those play a role? And then do we want to do that internally? Do we want to use robotic process automation or talent or a cloud-based platform to do it or a combination of those? Or do we want a partner to help us do that? And who plays what role and how do we fit all those pieces together? So what we're really moving towards is more of a hybrid organization in healthcare that involves internal shared services, involves business units, involves the third-party outsourcing service providers. And we are seeing, as you can see, a shift towards more the shared services and outsourcing, but in what we might call a more a smarter or more intelligent approach, which is more about let's focus on the outcomes we want to achieve and who and how we can do that in the most effective manner. So you can see here that through our research, we saw still quite an increase expected, 70% of the responses, so a majority clearly are still moving towards a shared services model, and that gives them leverage to figure out how to then best address the business problems and put together the solutions that will work for their companies. And even between companies, we're starting to see some collaboration. The top investment areas that we see, this stood out in the survey that Patty did as well. He talked about analytics and cloud and the impact that that's having. And you can see here that there is a significant investment in red anticipated around analytics and particularly around social, mobile, and interactive, where, frankly, this is about the interaction and the engagement and how to support that effectively. So we are seeing a more thoughtful approach to this. I think it's not just, can we get out there on social media and get our name recognized and find out what patients and healthcare consumers are saying about us if we're a service provider or a healthcare organization, but how do we use that to create a better connection and make it part of a whole program where we're analyzing who to reach out to, how and when, and what impact are we looking to make, and making that part of a whole program. And we're also seeing, as you can see here, a real increase in how do we diversify our own workforce? So healthcare organizations are really looking at how do we diversify our workforce to bring a balance of those who are really familiar with the way it's always worked, with those who have a fresh energy and fresh ideas and frankly are growing up in a digital world and so can help bridge that gap from the old to the new and bring them together in a more integral way in the business. And through this all, what we're realizing is that there is this need for a more thoughtful approach to automation and robotic process automation. There were, the last couple of years, a lot of pilots underway, a lot of rolling out of RPA, primarily in the front office around customer services and support, so automating data intake from self-service portals with eligibility checks into enrollment process, patient scheduling and reminders. So a lot of the data movement has been automated. And now we're seeing, and also then in the back office as well, we're around claims and enrollment checks and movement from system to system and integration. So what we're starting to see now is that if there's an increased understanding and use of robotic process automation, it's driving new discussions of what to accomplish before the how. And, you know, part of that is a realization, and you can see in this survey response here, that there's a greater appreciation now that robotic process automation and the more intelligent use of it, it's about driving predictability and quality in the processes to get more predictable and higher quality data and speeding up the time to complete those processes and get to the end result and free up people to move around to other projects and frankly focus on what do you do with that data now that you have it? How do you use it more effectively? Do we need all this data? And how do we focus it in on creating those results that we're looking for? So we're really seeing that there's much more of a focus and appreciation for robotic process automation on quality, predictability, and speed, and how that fits into an overall approach to impacting those business outcomes that we're looking for. And that, you know, reduced readmissions or higher quality patient services, things along those lines. So the bottom line is that where healthcare organizations are going and what's reflected in the survey, and this includes interviews and forum-based discussions as well, is that there is always a focus on driving down operating costs. And what we're seeing increasingly is that it's not just about that. It's also about how to do that in a smart way by using predictable data and people who can understand how to use that data, so that links back to the focus on the analytics, and how to bring together the whole organization to focus on driving those results. Because as we all know, a lot of healthcare organizations, and frankly, a lot of service provider organizations as well, have grown up and existed in silos. And those silos have to be broken down in order to effectively create some sort of new result that it goes back to what Einstein has often been attributed for saying, you know, the definition of insanity is repeating the same thing over and over and over and expecting new results. If we want new results, we have to work in a different way. And that's really the bottom line, is getting towards that new combination of talent and technology. And what makes all these levers work together, you know, we showed earlier in the presentation around operating models and digital technologies and analytics, what makes all those work together effectively is focusing on people first. So back to you again, even the very first story that I was telling around what is it that will help create that experience for the patient, for the physician as a patient, for the physician treating the patient? How can we create the experience that they need to be more effective and to drive those healthcare results? And that all ties back to the organization and how it works together, how it consumes the data and gets to those data results faster, and how the support functions work together to drive towards those results. So essentially, what happens in the back office over here, the intelligent one office that we're calling it, that impacts the front office. And it's all relevant to creating and delivering a consumer and patient experience that leads to better health, better care, and lower cost. And so what business operations really need to be about in healthcare organizations, and what service providers need to be about in terms of working with those business operations in healthcare, is about creating one office. How do you create that integrated flow between the front and the back and make sure that the consumer, the customer, the physician experience is a part of what the back office is doing as well as the front office? And that focus on the patient experience and the consumer experience and the challenges that we have in getting there and breaking down those silos and using digital technology effectively and reorganizing and realigning talent, this is leading to an increased expectation in partnerships with service providers and ability to deliver timely return on investment within a healthcare organization is now a driving reason for partnering in the first place. So it's not all about getting a cheaper, better solution. It's about getting a better solution. we're kind of moving away from cheaper Trump's all. I think there's a bad pun in there somewhere. We're getting away from that mindset, and we're moving towards being more strategic in relationships between healthcare organizations and service providers. And the right talent is a really critical part of that. So if you're a service provider thinking about, you know, how to help deliver on these expectations as the industry changes for outsourcing and operations, if you're in a healthcare organization, what we're finding is that there's less of an emphasis on negotiation, project management, et cetera. These are skills that can be taught. What people are looking for now as they do hiring is critical thinking, creativity, and complex problem solving. These are the top three. They're also the hardest to find in terms of talent and capability. So that really makes it critical to, again, if you're automating as much of the process as possible, if you're focusing on the consumer or the healthcare patient, that makes the job more interesting, more engaging, and you're going to get the right people and keep the right people into the kind of jobs that you want to have in your organization to accomplish these results. So that's something to think about in terms of career development and direction. So I want to just land on bringing it back to the people and how you get to crossing those barriers, breaking down those silos, focusing on the end result, really understanding who that end user is and how to create that experience. And that's where we're really seeing the rise of design thinking. Design thinking has been around for years. It's been used for product development. It was used in IT development. And now it's being used in service design and development. And really understanding, as we move from a product society to a service society, really understanding what's of value to the people receiving those services is going to drive the growth. And so design thinking plays an increasingly effective role in helping us to change and transform organizations and break down silos and bring together talent technology. I'm actually doing a study on this right now, and I have about 50 interviews underway. And it's just fascinating the stories that come out of using this approach in terms of driving change and transformation, enabling that to happen and getting people to work together that haven't before. And so, you know, I guess I would land on here, what's going to help us move into this consumer-centric digital world is, again, focus on the experience and outcomes, to be brokers, and really understand where the best sources of talent and technology in your own organization and across organizations. Shake up your workforce and really think about where and what kind of talent you need to develop, and use design thinking to become a student again. Put yourself in someone else's shoes and understand how to create and deliver that experience that people are looking for. And that all comes back to being ready to charge into something new and writing off the past. We can't keep working and doing what we have been. We need to change. And so that's the challenge that I leave you with. We need to continue to work together, and we need to work together in partnerships that are focused on that result and that outcome in the healthcare industry: better cost, better care at a lower cost overall. And so I'm going to stop sharing here and turn my screen back over to see if we have any questions or even comments or feedback or ideas.
Okay. We actually have a question here that we're going to take, Barbara. Firstly, thanks for that presentation. It's very interesting comments, especially some of the observations you made, which kind of were in alignment with some of what the survey respondents from our Q4 survey were saying. So very interesting. I have a question here. I'm going to read that out, and then maybe I'll take a stab at it, and you can add to it, Barbara. What kind of growth do health plans expect this year, given the uncertainties of the new administration? I think the first thing for health plans is to really decode what's going to happen next, right? What we've seen is that, the new administration has stated their very clear intent to dismantle Obamacare. What that dismantle the ACA, what that means is that it's going to do a couple of things in the short term. It's going to put the individual exchange markets into a state of uncertainty, especially if the individual mandate is withdrawn, which means that healthy people might drop out of the markets. So that's going to be one challenge, and that could disrupt the markets completely. It could be a loss of revenue. It could lead to losses, several things. The second thing related to the executive order is the potential rollback of Medicaid expansion, which will put health plans with a Medicaid portfolio at risk, because if federal funding dries up, you know, membership's going to drop, revenues are going to drop. So all the investments that they've made in the infrastructure to handle a large Medicaid population could be at risk. These are the two things that are potentially near-term impacts. So remember, too, that 2017 is pretty much locked in the individual exchange markets. So unless we see a large-scale exit from the individual exchange markets, an exit of healthy people, unless we see that, markets are going to be fine and stable. 2018, we don't know yet. Medicaid, again, what exactly the federal government is going to do in terms of withdrawing funding for Medicaid expansion, that is not clear. So that's the part we'll have to watch and see. Barbara, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I wish I did. I wish I had a crystal ball. I could look in and tell you what kind of growth health plans could expect for the coming year. But I think because it is so hard to anticipate and predict, I think that if we continue to focus on what we can impact, that's where we'll find the opportunities and drive the growth. If we spend too much time thinking about what it could be, we'll lose the opportunity to focus on where we can make a difference.
Right. Well, if anyone else, if we have a couple more minutes, if anyone else has any questions, please type that into the chat window, and we'd be happy to take your questions. Don't feel shy. It's okay. We're all friends here. All right. Well, I guess there isn't any other question, Barbara. So I just want to thank everybody for making time to come on the webinar. And I hope you found this informative. We will be shipping out, mailing you the link to the documents so you can download them and refer back to them if you're interested. And it'll have contact information for both Barbara and myself. So feel free to reach out if you have any questions or you want to, chat about something. Barbara, any closing comments?
Thank you all for joining, and I hope this is just the beginning of the conversation. If you've just joined us, and for those of you who know Patty and or me, look forward to, reconnecting and continuing the conversation as we go. Thank you, and thanks for hosting, Patty.
All right. Thank you all. Thanks very much.
Take care. Bye.